Yeah.
Now we're going to get to teach from the Bible.
Yeah, this is kind of fun to do it together. We thought, why not? And so we're going to talk about, we're talking about the journey to the cross and
right.
what it looked like for Jesus in those days and those nights and walking up to the cross. And,
yep.
And so we're going to talk about the cup of suffering today. This is Palm Sunday.
It is.
Palm Sunday, if you're watching on Sunday, but Palm Weekend.
It's Palm Weekend. No, and it's a picture of when Jesus actually came into Jerusalem, kind of riding that donkey. We call it the triumphant entry, and so yeah, this is the weekend that we celebrate that, the week right before the crucifixion and resurrection. And so we have a passage out of Matthew 26.
Yeah, today we're going to focus on this final evening that Jesus had before the crucifixion in the garden, and I'm going to read this passage for us out of Matthew 26, starting with verse 36. Why does this print look so small, Michael?
My Bible has small print.
We're just going to see what Scripture says about this story. Then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to them, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." And he took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. And then he said to them, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me." Going a little farther, he fell with his face to the ground, and he prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will." And then he returned to his disciples, and he found them sleeping. "Couldn't you men keep watch with me for 1 hour?" he asked Peter. "Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." He went away a second time, and he prayed, "My Father, if it is not possible for this cup to be taken away unless I drink it, may your will be done." And when he came back, he again found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. And so he left them, and he went away once more, and he prayed the third time, saying the same thing. And then he returned to the disciples, and he said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Look, the hour has come, and the Son of Man is delivered into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go. Here comes my betrayer."
Yeah, well, here's what we wanted to do. We want to highlight like three big thoughts from this passage and just kind of apply them really practically to our lives for a minute. And the first big thought that I have is this: following God's will is what led Jesus to this place of suffering. Mm-hmm. Like, he was deeply in line with God's will, and that led him to a place of suffering. If you think about it, he was continuously oriented to God's will. Like John 4:34, he says, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work." Like, that was actually sustenance for Jesus, doing God's will. John 5:30, "By myself," Jesus said, "I can do nothing. I judge only as I hear, and my judgment is just, for I seek not to please myself, but him who sent me." John 6:38, "For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me." If you think about it, that's even like the key point at the beginning of the Lord's Prayer. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Jesus isn't saying my will be done. This is like the basic orientation of a follower of Jesus. Your kingdom come, your will be done. So being oriented towards God's will, obeying God, is actually what leads Jesus to this place of suffering. Like, that's actually a pretty huge thought, because
yeah.
So often we think, you know, we mistakenly think that maybe God's not paying attention, mm-hmm. and that's why I'm experiencing suffering today. Jesus wasn't suffering because God wasn't paying attention. He was suffering because God was paying attention.
Yeah.
God was led him into this. In fact, the writer of Hebrews says that Jesus learned obedience from what he suffered. And if that's true for Jesus, how much more true is that for you and I? And so following God's will doesn't mean that we have a life of comfort. Not at all. Following God's will means that there will be suffering. Jesus was really clear in his last night with his disciples. And I think God wants to accomplish so much more in our lives than just having us be comfortable. God wants to accomplish us looking more like Jesus, becoming, big theological word, sanctified, really becoming people who live out the presence of God in our world today. And much of that comes through suffering. And then Jesus identifies, he says, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death.
Yeah, I mean, that sounds like a very dark place.
Yeah, this is not, like, Matthew is really clear that this is not normal trouble we all face. My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. There's this feeling of great distress, of desolation that begins to fill his mind. He is going to experience separation from God by taking on the sin, the disobedience, the lack of trust of the entire world. And I love the way that Jesus identifies what he's feeling kind of in this moment. He doesn't just sweep these feelings under the rug.
Yeah.
He actually talks about it with other people.
Yeah,
right?
In fact, he doesn't go through suffering alone. And, you know, he brought all 12 of them to Gethsemane, and then he takes Peter, James, and John farther along with him.
That's right.
And he has them start to wait and pray and watch, and then he goes a little bit farther to be one-on-one with the Father in heaven. And I think oftentimes when we face suffering, the enemy comes along and he says, well, you know, we have to kind of isolate and go through that. We really shouldn't share that. We don't want to be a bother we shouldn't share it because people will see that we're fragile. We have this fear of people seeing that maybe we're too fragile, or maybe we're just afraid to feel that kind of vulnerability with other people. We have these vows of, I'm going to be strong, and I'm not going to have limits, and I'm not going to, show when I have those kinds of needs, because that's not, it's not healthy. So
that's
we
right.
kind of have twisted thinking, but the yeah. enemy is constantly inserting those lies and telling us to isolate when we're suffering. And none of us are meant to suffer alone.
No,
we're always
not
meant to, include other people, but it takes courage to do that. But even Jesus faced, he faces this most grueling night of his life, and he understands that he has the need for the disciples to be with him. Yeah.
I've often thought we should be more like dogs than cats.
Okay.
No, because dogs, when they're hurt, like, they come and complain to you. They come and whine, And cats, when they get hurt, at least the ones that we've owned, they just want to go be by themselves and crawl in the closet and die.
That's true.
And so, I just think we should be more like dogs than cats.
Okay, sweetie.
All right, so the next big point here. It's normal to want to avoid suffering.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you listen to Jesus' first prayer, my Father, if it's possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will. And the phrase cup in Scripture almost always refers to a cup of suffering. And so we see that throughout the Old Testament. And so even though it's normal to want to avoid suffering, the cool thing here is Jesus has always been aligned to God's will, and he knew that he was in need of strength to walk through this. And so when he begins that prayer, he begins it, my Father. And that speaks of this intimate father-son relationship that Jesus has with God, his dependency upon the Father. And we see that again in the Gospels, stated over and over again, that he's dependent upon the Father. So he knew his need for kind of this quiet time alone. Again, we see this in the Gospels, time alone with the Father as he's making big decisions, or right before this terrible ordeal that he's facing. And I think even in times like this uncertainty that we're experiencing right now with the global pandemic, we can each see in our own lives how the anxiety increases and it affects the way that we relate to one another. We were just, as we were getting ready for this, we were talking about this morning about, I find myself reacting differently. You find yourself reacting differently to the people who are right around
maybe.
This. And you're thinking, that's not how I act.
Yeah, like
that's
maybe to your spouse or even your
exactly.
kids. And, there's this sort of like anxiety that comes out sideways oftentimes just because it's a unique situation that we're not handling.
And so in the midst of that, we have to choose to include other people in our lives.
Yeah, we do. And it's not hard to imagine that, Jesus, he went back and forth three times to the Father and the disciples. So he repeatedly was, in this position of it was normal to want to avoid that suffering. Is there any other way? But as he comes back to his closest followers, he finds them asleep instead of praying for him. And it makes me chuckle, but at the same time, I think there's times in our life where we might expect that if we're willing to share our most vulnerable needs at difficult times, the least that my friends could do is stay awake and pray for me, right? But sometimes they don't always respond.
That's
or
right.
Even understand. And I think especially in families where some of our family is following Jesus and some isn't, maybe they don't even understand why we're following God or yep. why we would even ask God what his will is. So it's kind of normal that even the people that are close to us, they might not understand our suffering. And but that doesn't mean that we get a pass to go through it alone. It just
That's
means
right.
that we should still choose to include other people
That's
and
right.
to not isolate. Because personally, in my life, I don't think I couldn't have made it through the darkest times in my life without the people that God put around me, my family and friends, and being able to say, I'm not okay and I need help.
That's right. So then as Jesus continues to interact with the Father, he goes back and forth. He submits to God's will, right? So he finds them sleeping. He goes back. And that second time, it's interesting. He doesn't chastise them. He has compassion on them. And so again, look at the prayer. Verse 39, my Father, if it's possible, may this cup be taken from me. And then in verse 42, he says it differently. My Father, if it's not possible for this cup to be taken away unless I drink it, may your will be done. There is, what I read in between the lines right there, mm-hmm. is a deeper submission to God's will during this incredibly difficult time in Jesus' life. And that submission allows a couple things to happen. It allows him, that second time when he comes back, and even the third time, and he still finds them sawn logs, he seems to be more compassionate towards them those times. And then also that submission gave him the strength, mm-hmm. the ability to actually stand up and welcome his accusers.
Yeah.
Like at the very end, he's like, here come my accusers, let's go meet him. He's not like hiding in the dark. They're coming out with torches and all this stuff to try to find him. He's not hiding. He's like making himself plainly visible to them.
Yeah.
Like right in the midst of all that.
It's as if he has totally surrendered his will to the Father, and he's heard, he's been with the Father intimately, and he has heard his will, he knows his will, he's embraced that, and he's said, I'll do it because you're with me.
That's right.
And in it's being with the Father that empowers him and yeah. allows him to be able to obey God. So he surrenders to the Father's will. He surrenders like all of his hesitation, all of his fears, all of the unknowns to his Father. And it's like he's saying, I trust you, God.
That's right.
And that's what a surrender is. Surrender in our lives, in those kinds of times, is saying, and you know, even now, surrendering our lives in this kind of difficult time to continue to give, to be open-handed, to share what God's given us, to not, you know, have a reaction of fear and clutching everything we own and, you know, hunkering down and hope this passes, but to actually engage even more. And we see people doing that. You know, some people's responses are incredible, and it's like they're really trusting God during this time when there's so many unknowns and unpredictable things. And Jesus was able to trust God, and then out of that place, he could obey him, and he could walk out what God was asking him to do, this incredibly difficult thing, because he was intimate and he was dependent on his Heavenly Father. There's no way that we can walk in full surrender and obedience until we become dependent on
That's
the Father
right.
and we trust him.
That's right. So there's so many like key application points here. The being with people, to making a commitment, to actually sharing what you're feeling and being with people, and finding some strength as you trust God together is one of those key points,
yeah.
like making a commitment to that.
And you know what? We're doing that online. We obviously can't be together.
That's right.
But we have some great opportunities. Our pastors, I had a time on this week where it was posted online that you could just be together, and it's called Presence with God and Others. And we just read a psalm. We talked about what we were experiencing, what we were getting present to over the last couple days. We prayed, and it was just good to be together.
That's right.
We have new connect groups where
yeah.
You know, lots and lots of people are just saying, I want to stay connected. I want to be with people and say, you know, the prayer times that we had yesterday were relevant to what was going on like that day in somebody's life because of a work situation. And so we're doing it together, even if it's on Zoom, even if it's online, we can still.
And then we're also spending time kind of diving into our personal relationship with God. I started, and I didn't really want to do this or like the idea of it because I just don't like necessarily just putting my face on camera all the time. It's an ugly face. Like, nobody needs to see more of this, right? So, but I started putting like these little daily devotionals online just because I felt like it's really important for us to lean into that time with our Father, our Father in heaven, who really does care for all of our needs. And so we just want to invite you really into using some of those resources in that way. And then also, I think it could be a real temptation to either want to either pull back and isolate or to kind of just hide from the pain. And I want to just encourage you to get really honest with how you're feeling with the Lord in prayer. That's what the Psalms are so good for. David and the other psalmists get so honest with the Lord, and to get honest with one another about some of the stuff that's going on so that we can support and encourage one another during this time. And then the other piece is Jesus was laying down his life. Yeah. This was the beginning of the evening of laying down his life. Next week, we get together and we celebrate the resurrection. But in between, there's Good Friday. And again, there'll be some resources online to celebrate that with your family. But there's something about us being willing to step outside of our bubbles without infecting anybody and without passing on, you know, COVID-19, but to actually interact and bring some love and compassion in our neighborhoods and our communities. And so we really want to continue to invite you to just pay attention to what the Holy Spirit's saying for how you could serve your communities.
Yeah.
So,
I was just going to say, you know, we typically, when we gather, we move into a time of praying for each other. So that's what we want to do now. That's We're learning how to do that online, which is a little bit new and different. But we just kind of ask ourselves some reflective questions. We're going to have some worship going for the next 15 minutes. And then we also have several pastors and a lot of staff and leaders that are online and available right now as you're watching this to do some live prayer with you. And as you push a button and request prayer, they automatically accept that, and you go into a private chat room where you're just talking one-on-one with somebody that's waiting to pray for you. And so this is our time to do that. And we do that when we gather and we're learning how to do it online. So the thought that comes to me is how much of our lives are orientated around doing the Father's will, and how often do we stop and listen to his plans and purposes? And maybe they've changed. Maybe now his plans and purposes are a little different than what we thought or the track that we were on. And so are we tuned in, and are we listening, and then are we participating with what his will is, what his plans, and the laying down of our lives, whatever that looks like, and trusting him to protect us in ways that we can't even protect ourselves from a virus or from loss or from all kinds of things that might shift at work or in our families. Trusting him with our kids. I know lots of parents are struggling with how to do homeschool. They're like, you know, opening up textbooks that are in Spanish and saying, you know, I don't know Spanish. How am I supposed to teach my child this? And, you know, their kid might be in a Spanish immersion school. I heard that story this week. Lots of things that we just need help navigating, and we want to pray with each other as we do that, walk through that stuff together. So as the worship continues, feel free to stay with us for 15 or so minutes during this ministry time while we pray for each other.
Yeah, let's begin by praying right now. Heavenly Father, thank you for your grace and your presence right here. And Lord, I ask that you would come and speak to every single one of us. Would you bring your presence like right into our into our dining rooms, into our living rooms, wherever we happen to be, and allow us to experience your grace? And would you give us just the willingness, the ability to submit to your will the way Jesus did? And in there, find the grace that we need to interact and face the things in our lives that we need to face. And we just say thank you, Lord, for your presence.
Yeah.
thank you for the joy that you have over our lives as we submit to you as your kids. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Stay around for some prayer, and we look forward to having you next week on Easter.
Easter, yes. Yeah.